Ever been asked to do something and you didn't know what to do? Maybe even where to begin? How about we start here? Welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. Well, that was the easy part. Now what? You get the picture? Deer in the headlights, you're on stage. What am I supposed to do? Suddenly you're assigned a task and you don't have any idea where to start. Or maybe you're dealing with a situation that seems out of your control, even though you're supposed to be in control. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, picture this. It was a couple of years back. I was starting out an episode of Sentinel Watch. A practitioner of Christian Science named John Biggs was joining us. By practitioner, I mean he's in the full-time public healing practice of Christian Science. He's from Manistee, Michigan, and we started out the program, and I was opening the show like I'm doing right now. And the way I introduced the topic wasn't what he expected at all. John, do you remember that?
Well, I remember it, and I think about it, and I laugh about it. I wasn't laughing then.
I had no idea that my coming at the topic like that would throw you. What was the subject? Do you remember?
Yes, it turned out to be titled Rewriting the Present, and you launched into this wonderful consideration on how to help a friend of yours who is dealing with some anxiety. And here I am sitting there getting more and more anxious myself because it was along the lines of what maybe I was ready to talk about. But here I am, and you're about to ask me, John, what do you do when you're faced with anxiety? And I'm like, well, David, well, I tell you what happened was about three or four times as you were going on this wonderful reflection of your thoughtfulness with your friend, I kept being tempted to butt in and say, David, hold on. Hey, friend, That's not what we're talking about right now. Three or four times this came up. And so what I did, though, is I prayed and I said, God, what do I do? And I just got a clear assurance that I should just hold on a minute. And I said, okay. And then we got to the bit where you did your very kind introduction, as you always do, and turned it to me. And there was sort of a pregnant pause. And then God just, he sort of filled me up with what to say. It was a beautiful thing because I got to be turned away from what I thought needed to be said and what I thought needed to be shared, you know, with the audience. And it turned into this really sacred time of you and me and the wonderful support of the team in the background, all just praying together. And we really talked about some really wonderful things. And I'll tell you, in the time since, I've loved participating on Sentinel Watch. And that particular episode is one that I had people tell me they just felt so moved by. And I tell them the reason they felt so moved by it is because I was literally having a healing on the air. I was being healed of that fear and that anxiousness. I was letting God fill me up and you were letting God fill you up. Like, it was like a recorded healing, basically, as it was happening. And it's just, in the years since, it has filled me with such trust in the perfect guidance of our Father, Mother, God. And you know, a few things that I had prepared to share did come in handy in really fresh ways. So it wasn't like it was all out the window, but it was neat to feel prepared to serve God instead of feeling prepared to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Man, that is so insightful and so important. In fact, I'm being led right now to mention, maybe as a question to our production staff, I hope that we can put a link to the program that you're talking about there, a link on our webpage here for this episode, because it was a very powerful program. I remember we received a lot of very positive feedback from listeners. But I want to get down and dirty with what you were describing when you say that you heard God leading you forward here, because I know we've all been in a situation where we feel like, I don't know what to do here. And it's almost like there's so much racket going on certainly in my thought, I'll just say in my thought, that it's hard to sort of get past that, if you know what I mean, and listen for God's direction. And I'm wondering if you can say more about what it does mean to listen for God's direction. What is that? How do you describe that? How do you tune in and tune out of all of that fearful noise?
Something that is giving me a lot of heart and a lot of help over the years in thinking about that is a very simple and sweet statement from Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, in her primary textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. And this phrase is actually written on many of the walls of Christian Science churches around the world. It says that divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. Mm. And for years and years when I was growing up, I was like, cool, that's great. Like, love is going to help somehow here. That's fine. But yeah. A beautiful thing happened. I don't know what the kicker was, but several years ago, I suddenly saw that meant that every human need is a need for divine love. Now, I might not know in that moment of need that it's love that I need, right? Like on our call, on our interview there, it wasn't love that I felt I needed. I thought it was for you to change your subject, sir.
Yeah.
I thought the need was for me to have prepared differently. I thought the need was, you know, who knows what? I mean, I like you perfectly well, but I didn't see how love was going to meet the need. But, you know, but I think what I saw and tried to put into practice there was that if love meets every need, then my need right there must be for love. And the needs of all the listeners to that program and to this program, the need must be for divine love. And I do trust that love will meet that need. So instead of trying to outline what that answer has to therefore look like, I turn to another passage in that book, Science and Health. And Mary Baker Eddy describes Jesus as the best interpreter of man's needs. That's on page 170. And I really like that, how Jesus and the Christ that he represented, the ideal of God, he showed how love meets the need, whether it's in healing, in teaching, in rebuking, in comforting. He showed how love always does meet the need. My role is to not insist that the need is too great, or that the need is specifically for this, or just to be wrapped in, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? Right? Like, to not let myself get run over with my own racket, right? To use that word you did, to not participate in the racket. And perhaps very specifically and practically, just to be sort of quiet for a moment and admit that divine love is already here, and divine love must be meeting the need right there. And that Christ that Jesus demonstrated and that's always with us helps us feel love's care at any moment.
I love what you're saying there, because as you were doing that day, if you pause and put your trust there's a huge degree of humility that's involved there, where you're putting aside that sense of fear and you're putting aside everything that your senses are telling you, including what you think is the problem. but you're putting that aside for just long enough and letting Christ move you, that then you know what the real issue is and you know how to handle that.
I really like that. Yes, you mentioned humility, and that humility is what lets us be pointed in the way toward that solution. Mm-hmm. We sometimes get in our heads exactly what the need is, and then we naturally, being good people, go ahead and try and, you know, meet that need. But the point is that we don't need to be caught up even in trying to figure, okay, so then what do I do with this thing you gave me, God? We keep letting him show us. God is always meeting our need. If we're trying to help ourselves, God doesn't give us something and then hope we can sort it out. He is showing us that love is always here, that his love is here, and our role is to rely on that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're so right. And, you know, it's funny because in Christian Science, one of the things that I love about the healings is you're never left with just the physical healing or the healing of a situation or a circumstance. That there's always that sense that you've sort of leveled up a bit. You know what I mean? There's that feeling that you've taken away something. And it's clear what you're describing is that sense of leaning in to God. And how important it was to continue leaning in to God. You know, that was so important in that moment. And frankly, as I look back on it, I think of every healing that I've had when I've given up on trying to come up with a solution of my own, and I've let go and just earnestly listened with as open a heart. And that really is what it is. You're not looking for intellectually some kind of answer to come to thought. You are just opening up with that sense of, well, you, as you have said it so eloquently with that one word, love, you're opening up to that feeling, that spirit of love, and trusting that that will contain the answer. You're naturally led, spiritually impelled forward, and things do fall into place. And I think in about every healing that I've had in Christian Science, I couldn't have come up with an answer as good as the one that that God has led me to.
I'm so glad that you, as always, that we keep bringing it to this idea of healing. I had a healing at the beginning of this summer that I think sort of illustrates this in a neat way, if I can share that.
Yes, please do.
I had the privilege of serving as a Christian Science practitioner at a Christian Science summer camp. And as the day went on, I started to feel unwell, you know, just coughing and generally not doing well. And so I was praying and, you know, supporting others and praying for others. And as the day went on, I was not doing better. And every morning I had the pleasure of just offering a little talk to the counselors in the mornings. And I was feeling very much that my current state was not a state in which I wanted to be telling them all about the effectiveness of Christian Science healing. And I was starting to feel a lot of pressure as the day turned into the evening and we go on. And I was lying in bed and just sneezing and coughing, God, I really need a healing. I need some help here. And it was a really wonderful thing because I mentioned earlier in this talk that I was quiet for a moment and let God speak to me. You know, when you and I were doing that Sentinel Watch a couple of years ago, on this evening, I don't know that I specifically took time to be quiet. I just sort of ran out of things to say. And in that moment, I felt an instruction from God that I just needed to praise him. Mm. And I said, okay, I'm so glad just to love you. And the idea that came was that I was trying to make this be about me. And my motive was good, right? My heart was in the right place. I wanted to serve the camp population and I wanted to serve God. But I was trying to make it too much about how I needed to serve and what I needed to do. But maybe there's a way that I could be all about God and just praise God and love him. And this was such a beautiful thing because it reminded me that I didn't need to make this about me who's trying to demonstrate God. And I didn't need to be up there on stage trying to prove to all those camp folks that I was able to show them how to look to God. You know, or on our Sentinel Watches together and all the Sentinel Watches that happen, it's not me or someone else trying to convince people of a thing. We are letting love meet our need. We are loving the fact that love meets every human need. And I just got so glad about that. I got so happy about God, and I glorified God, and I just turned to just praising him and thanking him and loving him. And I was healed. And I didn't, that's quite just a little almost anticlimactic way of putting it, but it was so sweet to me because it wasn't, oh, right. If I praise God enough, then I'll get better. Okay. You're good, God. You're good, God. Okay. Nope. You're still good, God. Like checking with myself, like just happy just to praise God, happy just to love him. And I was well. I was completely well. I mean, I was healed. There was no congestion. There was no coughing. There was no discomfort. You know, I went to sleep pretty quick after that. I was pretty delighted. But this wasn't a process. It wasn't a transaction, right? It was that love meets every need. And I had been willing to hear how love was meeting my need. And in that moment, it was to praise God. Now, a really important thing is that this isn't like a formula. Ooh, every time I don't feel good, I should praise God. I mean, sure, yes, at any given moment, of course, it's a wonderful thing to praise God. I'm not knocking that at all. I mean, and actually, as I was praying about this call earlier today, I opened up my Bible and I opened up to Isaiah 12, where it says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord. So definitely praising God is a beautiful thing to do. But it wasn't praise him so I could get better. It's praise him because that's what God told me to do. Right? It's just about letting ourselves follow what God moves us to do, because then we're participating in God's meeting the need for ourselves and for everybody.
I love that story. And for some reason, this has really started to grab my thinking. And I'm not quite sure why. We sang a hymn the other day in church. Susan Booth Max Snipes wrote the lyrics. I wish that I could remember what the hymn number was. I'm sure maybe someone can whisper it in my ear. Someone in one of the control rooms can whisper it. It was in the hymnal supplement. But one of the lines that was repeated throughout the hymn was something to the effect of, "We are here to praise him. That's what we're here to do." Mm. And I began to think a lot about what that meant to praise God. And I feel like in this moment, right now, that there's something here that I need to dig deeper on. I'm not sure what it means to praise God, to be totally honest with you. I mean, beyond simply, you know, beyond the words, if you know what I mean. Substantively, John, how do you understand what it means to praise God?
Beautiful. I love that hymn too. Praise the Creator. Let all within me sing.
Yes.
But that's what I'm made to do. Comfort it will bring.
Yes, that is it. That is it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. I take a lot of definition and heart from where the Bible talks about magnifying God. And you're welcome to laugh right along with me again if you like. But I literally think of a magnifying glass and holding up a magnifying glass to magnify God, like to make him bigger to myself. When you have a magnifying glass, you're not changing anything, right? You're not making the leaf bigger actually, but by magnifying it, you see more clearly what is there. You see more clearly the nature of the leaf or the bug or whatever you're magnifying. So to magnify God, to make him bigger to myself, what does that mean to me is that to put it really simply, I think about him. I just think about God, about good. I'm so grateful for our synonyms that Mary Baker Eddy gave to us in Science and Health, biblically based synonyms like spirit, mind. And I think about how when I say that God is love, when we say God is love, we don't just mean that He is loving. Of course he is. Of course he's loving. But we don't just mean he's loving. We mean that God is literally love itself. Like when you say you love someone or you say you love this thing or whatever it is, like you don't think that you are containing love. You are like participating in in the true appreciation of that person or that activity. Like you're seeing and you're appreciating and you're loving, but like you're, you could say maybe in tune with, in a fresh way, with that person. But love is more than just loving. Loving is the action, right? Love is a being, is a real thing. And that's what God is. And I mean, it, you can maybe hear it in my voice. I mean, you're just sort of blown away by it.
Yes, like, I do hear it in your voice.
God is what love is. And that, I think about that. And I think about how all real things are the expression of love. Like, I use the word worship. I worship love. Sometimes the word God just sometimes feels a little distant.
I know what you mean.
But like love is real. And if God is love, then God is real. And I worship love. And then, you know, at any given time, like again, to keep going back to our unexpectedly healing Sentinel watch a couple of years ago, in that moment, I didn't feel particularly loved. I felt, oh boy, I'm on a hot plate here and we got to see what's going on. You know, maybe love doesn't speak as much to me at that specific moment, but another synonym that really speaks to me is mind. That God is not just super smart and he's going to sort of instantly text me a great thing to say. God is mind. I worship divine mind. And how could mind not show me how to serve mind, not show me how to be of service to anybody I can be, to be of service to mind? The key there is to not think that I have to come up with it. I loved again how you used that word humility. It is not about me. When I'm magnifying something, I'm deeply interested in what I'm magnifying. So to magnify God, to praise God, to think about mind is also to live with it. Like to not say, oh, here I am, poor little person, doesn't know anything, but mind, you're pretty great up there somewhere. Mind, you're good enough. Like, it's to admit the immediacy of mind, of what mind is giving us. And so we can see the provision of wisdom that is needed right then. There's a trust there. And why can we trust? Well, because God is truth, right? And I won't keep, you know, elaborating on every synonym. I'll leave that for everybody to enjoy for themselves. But the allness that God encompasses, like when I praise God, when I say I'm going to praise God today, I really just mean I'm going to love him and I'm going to think about him. And then I'm going to live with what I'm thinking about, right? Because God is here.
Right.
God is here. Then I can trust him. And so then if I trust him, how do I show I trust him? Right? Like this is practical. Sometimes people used to say to me, they would say, okay, cool, we pray for a bit and then we got to go do something practical, right? And I say, well, like, I mean, sorry, but if prayer isn't practical, then I don't know if I have time to do it. You know, like, why am I going to spend time doing something that's impractical? But are we going to say that worshiping love is not practical? Someone might say that. I don't know. But to quote one of Mary Baker Eddy's hymns, love alone is life. To worship love is to live.
It's almost like a gentle demand. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You can't help but be moved. It's not like a conscious decision. Once you admit the allness of love, it's just as natural as anything I can imagine. You know, I'm grateful for Sophie Ungerleiter on the Sentinel Watch staff. She informs me that the hymn I was thinking of was hymn 595 from the Christian Science Hymnal. And it's interesting the way that hymn is structured, John, because it begins, you know, when my heart is lost in sorrow and light feels far and dim. And then it goes on, the second verse, when weariness engulfs me, discouragement sinks in. And then the third verse, when my days feel much too busy to find where prayer fits in. And then it concludes, when earth seems satisfying, my joys fill to the brim, right? So you can see that, you know, in any situation here, right, that there's something that you can always do, and that's simply to praise God. Praise the Creator, let all within me sing, for that's what I am made to do. And comfort and courage and stillness will it bring. That's where that healing takes place. And it is in this idea of praising the Creator. It's not just that you can expect to see it. You will see it. You will see it. And that healing happens. So much of this, I keep coming back to it. It's sometimes, John, I feel like I'm relearning these lessons, you know, over and over again, that when I really do embrace what I know to embrace, the healing happens.
On page 340 of Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy is quoting Ecclesiastes in the Bible, and she's helping us understand the real meaning of that passage and elaborates, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Love God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man in his image and likeness." She's making it clear that when the King James Version specifically of the Bible puts that word duty in there, this is the whole duty of man, that word duty isn't in the original. Everything that man is to love God. We are for witnessing God. And that hymn, I too love that, how it goes through three things that are sort of rough situations. But then that last one, when earth is satisfying and my joys are filled to the brim,
right,
there's still a prayer I need to pray, simply praising him, right? Like it's not, oh man, stuff is tough, I need help from God, but okay, cool, now I've got it all and I go off on my own God is always God, and we are who we are in praising him, in showing how good he is. In all honesty, I'm sort of laughing at myself. I don't know why I'm laughing at myself about it, but the whole topic of this Sentinel Watch is all of a sudden seeming so funny to me, because what do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, I mean, you be who you are.
Yeah.
There's not something else you need to do.
Yeah.
Being who you are, the witness of God, the expression of God is what's needed. You're not like a person out there trying to figure out, you know, which screwdriver head to use for which screw. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, what do I do now? What quote do I read from the Bible now? What, you know, hymn can I, oh, I can't even sing. Ah, like you are for loving God. What you are, whoever's listening to this right now, who you are is for the love of divine love. Mm. You are for praising God. You are magnifying God. You're his expression. And so when we don't know what to do, I actually, in all honesty, that's one of my favorite places to be in prayer, because I say, thank goodness I'm not filled up with knowing exactly what I think I have to do to do this thing, because then that sort of makes it more about me. I actually, honestly, David, since that Sentinel Watch in 2024, experiencing that healing with you on the air, I have gotten more and more grateful to not know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do, because I get to praise God. I get to say, thank goodness, I'm going to look to God to see what to do. And gosh, you know, I had just the most gentle, simple little experience. Just the other day, my cat got out, you know, on our property out here, and that wasn't great. But I didn't know what to do at all. But I remembered the lesson that I'd learned with you, and I asked God what he was doing today, and God just sort of patted me on the back and said, well, I'm here, and love is here, and why don't you go for a walk? And I said, oh, so I can find the cat? And no answer came for that. It just was right to go on a walk. And as I walked around the property, I just kept getting a sense. My cat's name is Joey. I got a sense that Joey knew where he was, and that God knew where he was, and that I knew where I was, and I could just be really grateful on this beautiful morning. Mm. Well, it was a beautiful walk, and when I got home, Joey was sitting on the porch, and it was so funny to me. I didn't say, oh, thank you, God, for bringing him home. I felt such a sense of the presence of God, but I'd been feeling that sense of the presence of God on that whole walk. Like God was healing me on that whole walk and showing me that he was always there, and he's always with my cat, and he's always with everyone who might call someone for help. And how about this? He's also with everyone who is helping. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're helping someone else, you're not on your own trying to help mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. You're helping them because God is there, right? We're praising and magnifying God already there. We're not trying to make something happen. And that's when it gets hard, when we don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, I have to make something happen. What do I do? What do I do? Well, God is the only cause and creator, so you're his witness. And the person asking you for help is his witness, and you both get to witness his mm-hmm. goodness together. How about mm-hmm. that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And we shouldn't overlook this other aspect, too. You referred earlier to Mary Baker Eddy, the author of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, as a discoverer. What she was doing in that discovery was a very, at first, intensely personal, you know, that healing that she had in 1866 that led her on this journey of discovery. But in a way, in a sense, for all humankind, it was a reawakening, a sort of rediscovery of a truth that Jesus demonstrated, and that there are many accounts of that healing. But it points to this very important aspect that we haven't really touched on. And that is that it's not like God is distant or out there. Something that Jesus saw was that as God is the creator, we are his creation. And so we're really going right to this notion of ourselves as living in spirit. Maybe that's a good way to put it. Living in spirit as spiritual beings. And again, it's not something that's intellectually attained. This is something that just follows from the idea of God being the creator. And we can embrace our spiritual nature. And that's what we're doing, in a sense, when we're embracing God with that open heart, you know, to see more deeply what God is, to understand more about God. And I become somehow more removed from that sort of earthly sense of myself, and more deeply in touch with my real being. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm pleased to say that I know exactly what you're talking about. That word spiritual, that man is spiritual, that is such a precious idea. Like, I'm really sorry to all the grammar folks who are listening now. I love to think about if God is spirit, we're spiritual. If God is love, then that means we are love-tual. Like, I don't know another way to put it. Sorry, I don't know how you spell it.
I love it.
But like, we are that expression of love. And you know, sometimes people tell me, well, how do you do it? Like earlier in this call, you say, well, how do you praise God? What do you do? And I can just hear someone saying, well, how do you be spiritual? And something Mary Baker Eddy wrote in her autobiography, Retrospection and Introspection, There's this great paragraph on page 86, and check this out. She said this: there's but one way of doing good, and that is to do it. There's but one way of being good, and that is to be good. It's so straightforward. We get ourselves caught up. What do I do? What do I do? Right? Like we were talking about today. What do I do here?
What do I do? Yeah.
Get tangled up, like you said, in that racket, right? Well, what you do is you be you. That's spiritual. What you do is you praise God. We think of him. We love him because you are the effect of his love. God is not somewhere separate and we're trying to figure out where he is. You are the outcome of God. You are what happens because God exists.
You know, John, every time I talk to you, I walk away from the studio thinking, now I want to do that. And I'm filled with that sense right now. It's almost like the day has started over in a sense. I just love these ideas that we've been talking about. John Biggs is a practitioner of Christian Science. He's from Manistee, Michigan. And again, John, it's been such a blessing to get to talk with you today on Sentinel Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's such a pleasure to get to be with you, David, and with the whole team. Thank you all for your, well, for being you.
We're a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.